Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly, we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. We thank God for all those that will log in, those that will call in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. We thank God for all those that will join us here on Facebook Live. I'm so thankful. I'm always thankful because, you know, God is just such an amazing God, and he does all things well. He's just a good God. He'll bring you a word in the hour that you need it. God is an amazing God, and I just thank him for being who he is. So we are so thankful. We know we're in Genesis, and so I wasn't on last week, so I got to make up for last week. So we're doing Genesis 8, 9, 10, and 11 today because after that, we will start on chapter 12, and I'm getting excited about those. But anyway, thank God for just this day. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercy. We thank you for being our God, our sovereign God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a shepherd and we shall not want. We thank you that you are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? For you, you are the strength of our life. And whom shall we be afraid? We thank you, Lord, that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We thank you, Lord, for being our refuge and our dwelling place. God, we thank you for being our strong tower and our righteousness. God, we thank you, hallelujah, for being our healer and our keeper, our comforter. God, we thank you. Lord, so many people, we had several losses of people of life this week. And Lord, we just ask you to comfort God. In the name of Jesus, bless Sister Tyson's family, oh God, Cloris Leachman's family. God, bless those that the people, oh God, that lost loved ones that were in the hospital or those that were at home sick. Lord, we ask you just to touch as only you can, Lord. They need your comfort, God. Let your Holy Spirit comfort them as only you can. But Lord, we ask you, Lord, those that are in the hospital, those that are at home sick, Lord, that need healing, God. We're asking you, Lord, to send your healing virtue upon them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let it flow through their body, just like you did when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of your garment, and your virtue flew out, came out of you, and healed her body that very instant. God, we're asking you, Lord, for the same thing, the same miracle to happen to the people that are that need healing, God, those that are sick, oh God, hallelujah, those that are sick, God. You said, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you can restore their health, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said it's your will that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. So, Lord, bless our soul to prosper, oh God. Lord, we ask you, Lord, you said there's nothing too hard for you, so no illness is too hard for you. God, let your healing virtue flow, God. Go into the hospital rooms and into the bedrooms and the homes and in the nursing homes and in the facilities, Lord, the rehab facilities, and begin to let your healing take place in the lives of people, God. We thank you, Lord, and for those, Lord, that you will decide to take on home the glory, God, we ask you, Lord, that they be ready, let their lamps be trimmed and burning bright, that they will be ready, God, that no soul will be lost, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord, to bless, hallelujah, this country, this nation, Lord Jesus, is divided, but God, we know that you are God that can bring us together. So, God, we're asking, Lord, to bless President Joe Biden, oh God, and President, Vice President Kamala Harris, bless every senator, every House of Representatives, every congressman, oh God. Let them come together, Lord Jesus, in unity, Father. Lord, that they will be able to get things accomplished, oh God, and stop the fighting and the bickering because my party says this and my party says this. Lord, let that not be the case. But let us work together in unity, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the unity of this nation, oh God, coming together. We thank you for the unity of the body of Christ coming together. Everything's been so divided, God, but we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bring it together. Oh, God, we're trusting and we're believing in you because we know that you're the only one that can change things. You said the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and the world that they dwell therein. God, this is all, it all belongs to you. So, God, thank you, Lord, for showing yourself strong. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we glorify you and we magnify your name. So many hearts are saddened, oh, God. But, Lord, you can bring joy. You said weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. So, Lord, we're looking for the joy of the morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless all, Lord, over in Nigeria and all the countries that are having wars and wars going on. God, we ask you to touch those lands and bring peace. I thank you, Lord, to bring peace in this. Bless your word that it will fall on good ground, Lord, in in the name of Jesus. Bless every pastor, every teacher, every apostle, every evangelist, and every prophet that poured out to the people of God this morning. We ask you to pour back into them, God. Strengthen them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you. Lord, touch pastors, Lord, that may the churches might be in jeopardy. Lord, just give them peace, God. Lord, give them what they need, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless them with the finances that they need, God. We know that you are God that's able to do exceeding abundantly and above all we ask of them. So, Lord, bless those, Lord, that have lost their jobs, Lord. Lord, that they're depending on you for food and for shelter and for finances and to pay their bills, God. We ask you, Lord, to meet every need. Lord, supply their need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you for supplying my need. Hey, glory to God. I thank God, I glorify you. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one under the sound of my voice. You know what they stand in need of right now, God. So, Lord, we ask you to meet the need, God. And not only that, Lord, you said if we delight ourselves also in need, that you would give us the desires of our heart. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the desires of our heart in here. Oh, God, we glorify you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. And we magnify your holy name. For you alone are worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord, Tashine. Praise the Lord, Gary Coleman. Thank God for all of you that are watching. Lisa Carr, Pastor Carter. We thank you, Lord, for all those that are watching. We glorify you. So we're talking about Genesis. We're in Genesis. I think we're doing 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 today. So that's what our focus is, and we'll see where we get to it. But, I'm not going to be on here that long, I don't think, because we're talking about Noah. We're talking about Noah. See, of course, they had went in the ark. And I think I said the last time I was talking that, you know, I talked about Noah preaching. But now, you know, clearly in the Bible, it does not really indicate that by Scripture. I guess it's either, let me read these particular scriptures. We talk about 2 Peter, I think it's 2 Peter 2 and 5, it says, and if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with 7 others, then he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. And when it calls Noah a herald, it's talking about him being a preacher. And I think I read in some, I think these are, in some of the commentaries, John Gill's commentary, and some of the other commentary, it talks about him being a preacher, him being the first evangelist. And you have to imagine in our mind, now we think about God, if Noah was up there building that ark, now somebody came through there and asked some questions. You know, people, you have to build something that huge, and nobody's talking to you, so you're not getting the opportunity to minister to those people that are asking questions. There's nothing else to answer the questions. And so we have to assume that he did talk to the people about what was going on and what was to come. Now, whether the people paid any attention to that or not, we know they did not, because didn't nobody get on that ark but knowing his, and the animals. And so we know that. So people didn't pay attention to it. You know, like the book of Judges, they were doing whatever right was in their own eyes. And so we have to be careful, like sometimes we're doing right, as the people are doing now. They're doing what is ever right in their own eyes and not really adhering to what the Word of God says. Now, the one thing I want to say about Noah is that Noah was a man, he was a righteous man. That's what God called him. And I think his father even said that Noah would be the one that would, it says, when Lamech had lived 182 years, this is Genesis 5:28-29, he said he had a son. He named him Noah and said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. And so he was really referencing, if we think about the ground that the Lord had cursed, and then how God cursed the ground and he caused the flood to come. But he said Noah would be the one that would comfort us in that labor. And so we already know that Noah was going to be the one that God used to bring after the flood, to bring to repopulate the earth to him and his son. And this would also be where the lineage of Christ, praise the Lord, Linda, where the lineage of Christ would come through. And so we thank God for that. But anyway, when I think about Noah's character, and I just want to talk about that briefly, about his character. He was a righteous man. He was an upright man. and he was a man that followed instruction. And so we got to think about that. When God gives instruction, he's very detailed. If we think about the tabernacle and how detailed God was about everything when they had to build the tabernacle, same thing with the ark. He was very detailed when he told Noah what to do. And so sometimes God is telling us what to do as well. Are we following the instructions of God? Or are we just trying to do our way? I talked about Cain and Abel a week ago and talked about Abel offered a better sacrifice because he offered a blood sacrifice. And, of course, Cain bought from the fruit of the ground what he had grown. And so that was not the sacrifice that was acceptable unto the Lord. And I talked about, are we bringing an acceptable sacrifice? Are we bringing an Abel sacrifice? Or are we bringing a Cain sacrifice? Because Cain clearly did not follow the instructions. Because if he did, then his sacrifice would have been accepted. And so my thing is our sacrifice being accepted? Are we following the instructions that God has given? So God has given instructions throughout the Bible. He gives instructions. If we think about some of the healings that took place, they were hands on the. They were because of instructions. God gave instructions, and he wanted, and so miracles came forth out of the instructions. Even when Jesus filled the water pot at Canaan, and he did the first miracle, he gave them instructions. He said, "Get the water pots and fill them up with water." And because they did what he said, I think the king said that was the best wine. How did they save the best wine for last? Because usually they would give out the best wine, and then toward the end, when everybody had gotten drunk, they'd bring out the final wine, would be that watered down. But this wasn't watered down. They said it was the best. And so we got to understand, when God gives us instructions, the best will happen for us if we follow the instructions. It is about being obedient, and that was one thing that it was about Noah. Noah was obedient. And so God is looking for us to be obedient as well. He's not looking for us to do it our way. He's looking for us to do what he has asked us to do. He's looking for us to do it his way. And if we follow the instructions that God gave us, we will win. That's the thing about it. We will win. But if we keep trying to do it our way, we'll keep, you know, wandering around like they were in the wilderness. They wandered around. Because if they had did it God's way, when they were at Kadesh Barnea the first time, they would have went over into the promised land. The fight was fixed. The fight for them was fixed. God was the one fighting the battle for them, but they didn't trust it. They didn't trust that. They trusted in their own ability. How many times are we trusting in our own ability and not trusting in the favor of God, in the God? We got a fixed fight. If we think about that, we have got a fixed fight. God is already doing the thing for us. The same thing it was when Noah was coming along. He told him to prepare the ark, so Noah just got there and started building the ark. Now, the Bible mentions in the Bible about 120 years, and I'm not sure if it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. I think when it talks about that 120 years, I think that's over in the sixth chapter, it is talking about that the life of man was going to begin to be cut down because they had lived so many years before that. But after the flood, it would be 120 years. So, but if we think about Noah, because then that would have made Noah about 480 years old when he started building the ark, because the Bible says at 500 he began to have his family. And so he had Japheth, then he had Shem, and then he had Ham, because Ham was the youngest of the sons. And so I know we always say Shem, Ham, and Japheth, but Shem was 100 years old when he had Arphaxad. And Arphaxad, so he had to be about 98. When he went into the ark. And so if that's the case, then he couldn't have been the oldest son, because Noah started having the sons at 500. And so since he wasn't 100 when they went into the ark, or when he had his first son 2 years after the flood, then we know that he was not the oldest son. So it was Japheth that was the oldest son. And when we think about Japheth, the Bible says that Japheth would be that son, and his descendants would be those that of large population. And so if we think about the earth and now in the countries now, we think about these countries with large populations. They are descendants of Japheth. So you think about China, you think about Korea, and some of those places where there are massive numbers of people. Those are descendants from Japheth. And so Shem's was his descendants were the descendants that would come his descendants would come to Abraham. And then from Abraham on down to the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so if we look at Luke talks about Luke does the lineage from Adam to Jesus. And then, so that's Joseph's family. So that's Joseph's side. And then if you look in Matthew where it talks about, it starts with Abraham, and then it comes on the way down to Joseph, but it's not the same Joseph that Mary married. That Mary married is Joseph, her father. And so if we come down to that, then that is Mary, that's Mary's lineage. And so we see the difference in the two. But the one thing about Noah, when Noah was building the ark, still most of the patriarchs were still living at the time. I think it was about eight of them that were still living at the time. And as they began to die off, then at the end, of course, there was Methuselah that was the last one to die. And Methuselah was his grandfather, not his father. Father was Lamech, not that Lamech that was in chapter 4 in Genesis that was a murderer, but this was a different one. This was, he came out, and then you got to think about Noah's great-great-great-great-grandfather was, praise the Lord, Mary Kay, great-grandfather was Enoch. And Enoch was one of those in the Bible that it talks about that he walked so with God that God took him, so he never saw death. He never saw death like Elijah. And so anyway, those are just facts about it all. But anyway, so we're talking about, let me go back up here so I can get this done. So I started off talking about how, and so we talk about, I want to talk about the sacrifices. So I'm talking about in chapter 9 where it talks about, or am I chapter 10? Here we go. No, it's not. So let me go to chapter 9, because in chapter 9 the Bible says, and God remembers Noah. And so when we think about that, we think about God remembering Noah. And so he said, and every living and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass, this is chapter 8, verse 1, over the earth, and the waters began to dissipate. And so then, so it talks about that, and we talked about that, so that's the waters receding from the earth. And so it was like a 21-day journey, a 21-day situation, because when Noah sent the first bird out, it was the raven, and he could really consider the dirty bird. And so we know the raven eats dead things, and so this is the thing. When he got out there and saw that dead stuff, he was excited about it. He said, oh, there's food for me. And so he didn't come back. And so then Noah, waited another 7 days, and he sent out the dove. So now when praise the Lord, when the dove went out, he didn't find no place to rest, so he came on back. And so then Noah pulled him back into the ark, and so then they waited another 7 days, and then the dove went out. No, so the dove came back the first time. He had an olive branch that he had plucked out, that he had plucked. And so he didn't find no place, but he found an olive branch, so he bought the olive branch back. And so when he bought the little olive, the leaf back, it wasn't a branch, it was a leaf, Noah knew at that time that there was vegetation on the earth. And so he knew that it was getting close to the time where they would be able to come out of the ark. And so then the next time he sent the dove out, the dove didn't come back. So he stayed out, and so God did. So Noah knew that it was time. And so this is the thing. When Noah went into the ark, God shut the door. But when old Noah came out of the ark, Noah was able to open the door himself. And so this is, it makes a difference. I'm quite sure God had something to do with it. But he was able to open the door himself. And so therefore, he came, when they came out of the ark, and this is when he came out of the ark, everybody came out of the ark. There was vegetation, there was fish, so there was something to eat. What's the wonderful thing about God is God always makes provision. So when we think that we have no provision because we may not have a job or we may not be doing this, I'm not sure why my connection is going bad, but anyway, so when we did all of that, God still made provision. He made provision for them, so when they came out of the ark, they didn't have to worry about food. Because, you know, they took so much food in there with them. Praise the Lord, Lou. They took so much food in there with them. But when they came out, God had vegetation out there. He had fish out there. So he had all of those things in place. He was ready for them to come out of the ark. God is amazing. Isn't that amazing? That he would come, and he would already have things laid out. He already had things ready for them to come out of the ark. God will get things ready for you as well. He ain't no respecter of person. When he brings you out, he brings you out on high end, just like he did for the children of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, they came out in abundance. They went in a famine and came out in billionaires. I want to call them billionaires. They were loaded when they came out of there. They didn't come out of there broke. They didn't come out of there like slaves. They came out of there like rich people. So this is the thing. We have to understand that God is a God that will prepare what it is we need. He ain't somebody that's going to leave us in a place where we got to try to figure it out. We don't have to try to figure it out. He's already got it figured out. What do you think? Jesus will work it out if you let him. I mean, he's already worked it out for us. And so I was so excited about that. And then when Noah came out, I always wondered kind of why he had seven clean beasts. He had seven queens, seven birds. He had that odd number because they went in male and female, but God had an odd number for them. The reason for that odd number was the sacrifice. Isn't it something? They were saved to be a sacrifice. Some of them were saved to be a sacrifice. And so when Noah came out of the ark, the first thing he did was he built an altar. Have you built an altar in your house? Have you begun to build an altar so that God will begin to smell that sweet savior that he smelled? So when he built the altar, he offered up, let me find it in the scripture. Okay, so it said, I'll leave the ark. And it came to pass in the 600th and the first year, and this is the 13th verse, in the first year, in the first month, the last day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark. Look, and behold, the face of the ground is dry. So now you know it's 40 days and 40 nights of water. That was an awful lot of water. And they were on the ark 150 days, plus 150 days. But anyway, when they came out, the ground was dry. Now, remember when they went across that Red Sea, they went across on dry ground. God is amazing. He caused the wind to come through, and he dried the ground up. So he let them come out on dry. They didn't come out in muddy ground. They came out on dry ground. And so then, in the second month of the 7th and 20th day of the month was the earth dry. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all the flesh, both the fowl and the cattle and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And they that breed, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him. Every beast and every creeping thing and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth on the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark. And then it says here, and this is the 20th verse, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savior. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So it's happening even in the youth. They're cutting up. And so neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth on the earth, and upon all the fishes of the into your hand are they delivered. And God's instructions to Noah, every moving thing that liveth shall be, and this is the English standard version, shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. And so this we see a change in their diet even, because at first they were vegetarians. They didn't eat meat. But after the flood, they had begun to eat meat. But what they could not do was eat meat with the blood in it. That's what the Bible says, and it goes on to say that. They could not do that. That was, they said that that's what he couldn't do. But the one thing I want to talk about this, so here God is talking about what he's not going to do. Now he's making a covenant with Noah. And so then that's how we get the Noahic covenant. And the thing I liked about this when I was reading, and the Lord said, and the Lord, and he brought it to my attention, because it says here, let me see where it talks about the bone. Okay, so God's covenant with man. And God spake unto Noah and unto his sons, him saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you of the fowl, of the cattle, and every beast on the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And the God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between you, between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring the cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall more become a flood, no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh. Now, how many of us in our lifetime have seen the rainbow in the cloud? We see them, it's not uncommon, we might not see them every time, but we see rainbows in them. We see a rainbow in the cloud. I got excited when I thought about that, because that's in my lifetime we're seeing that. In our lifetime we're seeing that. This was a covenant he made with Noah, and I know it's talking about that he will not destroy the earth anymore by water, but what it said to me is that God is a promise keeper. He's a covenant-keeping God. He is a promise-keeping God. But every time we see that rainbow in the cloud, we ought to just get to shouting and praising God, because he has made us some promises. He's made us some promises. And when we see that bow in the cloud, we ought to be reminded that he is a promise-keeping God. He is a covenant-keeping God. And no matter how long it takes, or no matter how long it's been, he is keeping his covenant. He is keeping his promises to you. He will bring it to pass. That, I got excited about that alone. I was excited when I saw that. I thought, oh, my God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of all that you are keeping promises. You are covenant-keeping God. You will not go back. You will not slack on your word. You will not go back on your word. You will do exactly what you have said you were going to do. So hold on. Don't give up. Hold on, because God is able. He's able, and he will keep his promises. He will perfect that thing that is concerning you. You got to keep it. You got to, when you think about that scripture, it said, and God remembered Noah. You got to say, you got to put your name in there and say, I'm saying, and God remembered Denise Bryson. And God, put your name in there, and God remembered you. That means he's going to keep his promise to you. You are in covenant with him. You're in relationship with him. And because of that, he's going to do what he has promised you that he would do. I got excited. Sam, you see that rainbow, you ought to go to giving God the glory. Hey, thank you, Lord, for letting me know and reassuring me that you have not forgotten about me. And God remembers. Hallelujah. You got to say that. When the enemy try to come at you, you ought to say to yourself, you ought to just go on and speak that, and God remembered me. Hallelujah. We ain't got to worry about that. He remembered. And every time you see that rainbow, you ought to get excited about it, because that means that God has promises that he's going to keep, that he has made, he has given you, he has talked to you about, and he will keep his promise. Praise the Lord. Anybody on the line got anything they want to say before I move on? Thank the Lord. And so then we go on to talk about, you know, Noah and his sons. Of course, they were out of the ark, and then Noah began to be a husbandman, as that's what it said. And so he began to grow grapes and all those kind of things, and he began to make wine. I don't know what kind of wine it was they were drinking back then, but I'm telling you, it was some powerful stuff. Because they were doing, it was always a story behind that wine. You think about Jacob, when he had drunk that wine and he thought he was in there with Rachel, and he turned out to be Leah. You know, they had some strong stuff going on, you know, some strong stuff. But here was Noah. So Noah, he began to drink. And so he got drunk, and he was out there, and he was naked. And so Ham saw him. And Ham saw him drunk, and so he went to told his brothers about his father's nakedness. And so they covered their father up, but they did not turn to see their father's nakedness. They went in backwards to cover him up. And, of course, that's just what I'm saying. It's stuff. But anyway, look what happened. Noah woke up, and he knew what Ham had done. He knew it. They didn't have to tell him. He just knew. He knew what he'd done, God told him. And so he cursed Canaan. He did not curse Ham, because they were blessed. Ham, Shem, Japheth, Noah, they were blessed. And you can't curse what's blessed. Hallelujah. So you ought to be excited about that. Can't anybody curse you? You're blessed. You are blessed. If you're a child of God, you are blessed. And so they can't curse you. And so that's the thing. Of course, he cursed Canaan, and Canaan was a one of Ham's sons. He wasn't all of his sons. He had a bunch of them. But that particular one, and that one's descendant. And, of course, it was the land of Canaan that the children of Israel conquered. It was the land of Canaan. And so God gave them that land, even in the when they crossed on over to go into the promised land. The promised land was Canaan. And so I just want to talk about that little concept. You know, who that was and that's what all that. That's a different thing. And so then we begin to talk about Noah's descendants, and I talked a little bit about that earlier. I talked about Japheth. Japheth had Gomer, Magi, Javan, Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyra. And so those were his sons. And so I told you that Japheth's sons was the sons of those very large populations, which will take us probably over more of the Asian countries and things like that, where they had more larger population. And then, of course, Ham covered, I think, most of the continent of Africa, or in that area in the continent over there. That's where Ham's descendants, when you think about Cush and Havilah and those, and so they covered most of that region there. And, of course, Shem was the one that would bring forth the lineage that would lead to Christ. I talked about that earlier. So that's I'm not going to read all those names. But y'all know that can be situation. So let's talk about this Tower of Babel. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass that as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, to let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick and a brick for stone and slime, and they for mortar. And they said, go to and let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. See, they're doing too much. They start doing too much. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be a restraint from them which they have imagined to do. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So that's where we get the different languages and things from. God did that at that time. And so that's pretty much the Tower of Babel. That's what that was about. That was about them trying to, reach heaven with a city. And so God just said, no, that's not what to do. That's when it's not the time for that. And so they weren't able to do that. And so then if we think about, I'll talk about Abraham, because these are Shem's descendants. Abraham was a descendant of Shem. And so it talks about, they were pagan. Starting out. God made them the nation of Israel. God made them that. God made them that. But that's not how it all started out. And let's get to it. It says, and Peleg lived 30 years after he begot Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begot Serug. And Serug lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begot Nahor. And Serug lived after he begot Nahor 200 years and begot sons and daughters. And Nahor lived at 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Now, they weren't tripping. They bring all them in at one time, be thinking they tripping. But that wasn't the case. Of course, Haran was Lot's father. And then he died. He died before his father was still living. He died then. And so Abram took Lot with him. And then, of course, Nahor is where Abraham, it says, and Abraham and Nahor took them wives, and the name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. For Sarai was barren, and she had no child. And so then, of course, God tells Abraham to come out from among the people, and he moves him to the land of Canaan. So there's where we will begin chapter 12, and we'll start that next week. So I'm pretty much finished for the day. After this, going pretty quick. I don't know if I need to get more in. But also, you know, and during this time, there was another dispensation that was released, and that was the dispensation of human government. And then, so it says, dispensation of human government begins after the flood, and Noah and his family lead the ark. Civil government was not invented by mankind as the need developed. Instead, it was instituted by God himself after the flood, as is seen in Genesis 8 and 9. God's will is revealed in that evil is to be restrained from the corporate institution of civil government instead of personal vengeance. Now, here's where we come into capital punishment, because it says, with the absence of a threat of God's direct intervention through the instrument like the flood, man's responsibility is to meditate and mediate and restrain mankind's evil through capital punishment of certain offenses. So we were not, it says, the consequences relate to man's failure to carry out God's will to restrain evil. Because of this, God intervened in the Tower of Babel incident. That's why he did it, because he said man was just wicked in his heart. And so anyway, you know, he began to do this, and so capital punishment came into place, because God said we're not supposed to kill one another. So that's what he said, of course, a whole bunch of that's going on. And so, but that's why you have the capital punishment in place. And then we also, first was the Noahic covenant, and we talked about that covenant, God made that covenant with God. So, and I also want to reference, Abraham was a man of faith. So he was a man of faith, and the Bible speaks about, he's mentioned over in the roll call of faith, and it says by faith Noah began to build the ark. He began to do that. So if you read Hebrews 11:7, our DNA comes from Noah. Also, human culture would have been heavily influenced by Noah and whatever culture he carried into the ark with him. So we got to understand that. But anyway, Noah was a man of faith, and so by faith he's done those things. Just like so the ark was the ark of salvation, because it saved the family, it saved mankind. And so if we reference that type of reference, we have to reference it back to Jesus, because Jesus is our ark of salvation at this time. He is the one that went to die on the cross for our sins, and so because of that, it's kind of a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. If we think about it from that perspective, that's what the ark represented. And so we think about it. We have to think about that as well. So that was the thing. And so anyway, Noah had so many good attributes. And so, but Noah's flood teaches us two things about the attitude of God towards us. He is angry with sin, and he will punish it one day. And so if we think about when it says when Jesus comes back, you know, that's when things are going to be punished. That's when the devil is going to be punished. Those things are going to be happening during that time. He loves us and sends us ways of salvation if we will only repent and turn to him. So the problem was in Noah's day, they wouldn't repent and turn to him. So that's why the flood came. So but Jesus is our ark. That's what Jesus Christ is. And so with that being said, if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity. If you didn't give your life to the Lord this morning in any of those services, this is another opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, I always like to read this. I'm just quoting sometimes. So I don't know. I get it. Anyway, God is able to deliver us. And so if we think about, are we in the ark of safety? Are you in the ark of safety? Do you know, this is how we can figure that out. Are you in the ark of safety? If you feel like, if you leave here today, if something happened, Are you ready to go back with God? That's what you got. That's the decision you got to make. Are you ready to go back with the Lord? If God is, will you lift your eyes up in heaven? So if not, then this is what we're going. This is what I want you to say. Repeat after me. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe that God, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you pray this prayer with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner. And I'm asking, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. I'm repenting of my sins. I believe that God has raised you from the dead. Lord, come into my heart and save me today. And Lord, please forgive me for all of my sins and fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe you prayed that prayer, some version of it, that you are saved today and that the Lord, you have made the Lord Jesus your Savior, Lord, and your Savior. And if that is the case, then welcome to the family. We thank you. We are adopted in. We are adopted into the family. But he loves us. He's accepted us in the beloved. And so we're so thankful for that. And so I just want to, does anybody have any on the line have anything they want to say before I get ready to close? So next week we're going to be reading Genesis 12 through 17. We're going to try to make it all the way through 17 because then 18 starts to lock, the deliverance of Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Praise the Lord, Mary Kay, in the name of Jesus. I thank the Lord. But so we're going to talk about Genesis 12 all the way through 17 next week. That is our where we're going through. And so we're going to make it through Genesis. I ain't in no hurry. Because I said, if we hurry through it, we miss stuff. So anyway, we're going to walk through this Bible, and if it takes us a year and a half, it's going to take us a year and a half, but we're going to get through it. Those that want to stay with me, I'm going to keep going with it. So anyway, I enjoy learning the history of things. I enjoy when God gives me some revelation about things, like when he told me about the bow in the cloud and how we're still seeing that today. So it's just a reminder, of course, a reminder that he won't destroy the earth by water anymore. But it's also a reminder to me that God is, he's a covenant-keeping God, and so I can trust him that he's going to do what he said he's going to do for us. And so that's the wonderful thing about it. And so let's see what else is going on. I think we're doing prayer next Saturday at 5:00. We're going to start doing the prayer the first Saturday of every month. We'll do that. And then, of course, we'll be on here for the Prosper Souls podcast on Sunday. And then I'm going to begin to do single talk. But I'm doing single talk because I am promoting my book, The Sex, the Lies, and the Soul Talk. We're going to talk about it. That's one of the topics that don't usually get talked about much in church because we don't want to talk about it. But the Lord gave it to me. And I guess he told me to talk about it, so I'm going to talk about it. So anyway, I'll be starting talking about that. I'm probably do like 15 or 20 minutes, and then I'm going to be out of there. I'm not going to be on there a long time about all that. But anyway, I'm just going to fulfill that's going to be my book promotion time, but we will be talking about it. Because we got to get back to God's way. We got to get back to doing things God's way. That is where he's telling us to be obedient. And so even that needs to come under subjection to the word of God and to the obedience of Christ. And so because people just, people out there, they're out there, faces out there too. They're just like people, the world is just like, you have to come on back in too. And so, and this ain't no judgment. This is no judgment at all. It's just what God is asking us to do. And so we just got to, we got to get back to what God is asking us to do. We got to get back to a place of obedience. Ain't nobody judging nobody because everybody got stuff. That's what I tell my family. Everybody got something. So everybody got something they're dealing with, whatever that something is. And so we can't be judgmental. God is telling us and we can't do that because we can't be judgmental because, first of all, we don't have no heaven to put nobody in. And so since that is the case, all we can do is give what the Word of God says. And then the people of God hear the Word of God and then they align themselves with it. And that's what we're hoping happens. We're hoping that people will begin to align themselves with the Word of God. So that when the Lord does come back, your lamp will be trimmed and burning bright, and you won't get the message of, I never knew you, but he'll tell you, well done, come on in, my good and faithful servant. That's what you want to hear God say. You don't want to hear God say, I never knew you. You want to be known by God. You want your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so that's what you want. That's what we all want. And so we're just trying to get back to what God intended and not what man has done in their own eyes. And so that's it. So we're going to be doing that. And then see what else. Is that it? Yeah, I think that's it. We're going to be doing our next homeless giveaway. Not homeless giveaway, but we're going to be doing some things for all the homeless. That's our ministry endeavor is to, you know, feed and to, you know, give essential products to those in need. And so that's what we do. And so that's something that's going to be going on. And I'm trying to say, somebody told me I could set it up so that if anybody wants to donate, they could donate and buy the product through Amazon or something like that. Or even through Dollar Tree, you know, we're going to get a lot of things from there. And you can order something on there. It's going to be a help. If not, you know, we're going to do what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do, but it would be a blessing to have some people that help if they want to. And so, but anyway, that's up to you. That's up to anybody. But I'll talk about that more next week as we get them set up to be seen. And also, let's see, what else is that going on? You know, all that bunch of stuff going on. I was stressed out this week because I was reading it. I was going through that book. And found the air, and it freaked me out. Because I've had that thing edited about four times. And so, and then I saw that, and I was like, oh, God, are you kidding me? And so, I just had to go through the whole thing. And I think, you know, when I have when I get overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed. And so, anyway, I've been overwhelmed. But anyway, the Lord brought me through, so I finished that today, and I was able to get that to him. I mean, I've worked sometimes through the night, because I went through the whole thing. And I read it, and I started making change. Then I wrote another piece and put that at the end. And so there's a lot going on. But the Lord is faithful. He's good. Now I got to get these children's book out on the road. That's the next thing. I got the girl. I gave her. I paid for the illustrations, but I got to get her the book. And so I have to work on that, get that over to her. And the one thing I'm not going to do is overwhelm myself like this no more. Now, that's what I'm not going to do. I'm really learning because I can throw a whole lot at myself, and it's ridiculous, but I just can't deal with it. You know, we were laughing with somebody. I'm just talking now. We were laughing with somebody because we used to think about how we would get up on Saturdays and clean the whole house. I mean, we'd get it all done. And say, we think of now, I said, no more. You got to go and shift. I take rooms at a time. Rooms at a time, and then I stay out of them rooms, so I won't have to be doing all that cleaning. That's what I've been doing. I said, don't go in there. Don't put nothing in there. That room is clean, let it stay just like it is. So anyway, that is comical, but, you know, as we get older, getting older, you know, things ain't like they used to be. We'd get on Saturday morning. I mean, we would clean from top to bottom and be done with it and move, and then on our way doing something else. But that don't happen like that no more. But anyway, God is still good, and he's still strengthening us, and I thank God for being in my right mind and keeping my mind. I thank God for all my the activity, use of my limbs, and my senses is still working. You know, I got to wear these reading glasses and these computer glasses. These are computer glasses. So I can't see in them. If I start walking, I got to take them off because they're not for regular use, but they're just for the computer. So I have to wear these for the read computer, and then I have the reading glasses I use to read with. And so, because, you know, these glasses are all new to me. They get on my nerves. I can't stand it. But anyway, I got to use them, so I just got to get over it. But anyway, I'm thankful to God that I can see. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that anyway. But anyway, God is amazing. And so we're going to close out. And I'm trying to let the time wind down, but it's not. I still got 11 minutes, but I'm not going to talk for 11 more minutes. But I'm so thankful for that. We got, you know, through those particular chapters, and we'll do 12 through 17 on next week. And so I'm preparing myself for that. And but I did want to make sure I clear that up about Noah preaching. It doesn't say that really in the Bible, but it does reference to him that he is a preacher, he is a herald, he is somebody that does that. But the commentary is where I got that information from, because they do mention that. And I think if you go back into, I think I was looking at John, I think it's John Gill's commentary, and he was saying that how in the Hebrew literature, it does mention that Noah did that. And so those are the kind of things. So it's historic. It's just a historical fact that there's amongst that. When I looked in the book of Josephus, I didn't really see him mention it, but there were some other historians that did mention it. And so that, and like I said, the reference to 2 Peter and the fact that they said that Noah was going to be the one that would comfort them and during that time. And so we got to, and you know, if you think about people, if somebody's walking by and they see you building this big old boat, they're going to ask you some questions about it. And so even his family had to ask him questions, say Noah and his whole family. So he can bring your family out as well. Don't think that you come coming out and the family ain't coming out, but he can bring your whole family out just like he did for Noah. So just be encouraged by that. Say, Lord, I want you to do the same thing for me like you did for Noah. Bring me and my whole family out, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And then remember that, and God remembered and called your name in that place. Because when God remembers you, I mean, he's going to do that. He's going to bless you God has remembered me. And then one of my favorite passages of scriptures over in Hebrews 6:9, I believe it is, where it talks about God is not unrighteous to forget your labor and love, but he remembers you. And it's by faith that we are saved. And so by faith, Noah went into the ark. He built the ark. He went in the ark. And that was his ark of safety. And so by faith, we are in the ark of safety to Jesus Christ. So it's amazing. Anyway, God is so wonderful. So just be big. Think about that rainbow. If you're going through financial issues right now, you're going through healing, sickness and all these different things or whatever's going on in your life, you know, remember God is a promise keeper. He's a covenant keeper. And put the word on your situation. Get that Bible out and find them. You can look it up online now. You ain't got to do this Google. Just Google. If you want to know about healing, keep about healing, Google. So anyway, to come up. And so then you can put the word on your situation. If you need a financial blessing, Google the scripture. And ask God, where is the financial scripture? And begin to speak those things over your life. He's your provider. He is your provider. He said, he told Moses, he told Abraham, I'm the Jehovah Jireh. He provided the rams and the caught in the thicket. Hallelujah. He didn't have to take a lot. He didn't have to sacrifice. Type of shadow Jesus Christ. But anyway, that is it. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. I thank you for all of those that are under the sound of my voice. I ask you, Lord, to bless their week, Father, in the name of Jesus. Keep them in comfort and keep them safe in the name of Jesus. Let them, you are their refuge and their dwelling place. So, God, keep them under the ark of safety, God. We thank you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one of them, those that have to go out to work. Cover them with your blood, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, keep them safe. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Even though they're in the workplace, Lord, let them be in Goshen's fear. Let the blood be on the doorpost. Hallelujah. Oh, God, don't let no plague come by their dwelling, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, the Lord, to bless those. Open up doors where doors need to be opened up. Lord, if there need, if there's a job that's needed, if there's finances that's needed, Lord, open up the door, God. Only you can open up those kind of doors. And when you bless us, we're blessed, God. It ain't no job that we can't make the ends meet, but it'll be a job that will be more than enough because you are God of super abundance. Hallelujah. Just like you told him over, this is Psalms 4 and 5, where you said that it talks about that, you know, you preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemy. But, Lord, you prepared the table for us. But, God, you blessed us, oh, God. And you blessed us with that abundance blessing, oh, God. That one that, you know, when if you need a blessing, God is going to bless you. He's going to do exceeding abundantly above all you can even ask or think. So those are the kind of blessings you should be looking for. But you should also be thankful for everything he blesses, everything, everyone you get. So just be thankful. God, we're thankful today. We're thankful for you because you are the Sovereign God. You're the Almighty God. You're the Omnipotent God. You're the Omniscient God. Your all power belongs to you. So you're all powerful. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross on our behalf. We thank you for coming to lead and guide us and so many other attributes of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, God. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, God. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But we ask you, Lord, to bless everyone with traveling mercy. Lord, we rebuke the enemy that will try to come and bring harm, God. But you said when the enemy comes, then, Lord, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against us. So we thank you for that standard being lifted up. We bless each and every one, oh, God. Lord, you know what they need. Be a protection for them in their homes, God, in the name of Jesus. As they go out and come in, Lord, be their help. Be everything they need, Father, in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over your people, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus over this nation, God. Lord, there's still stuff stirring up. There's still stuff stirring up. But, God, we know that you're in control. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. We know that you're in control, God. So we're looking to you. We're looking to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, to protect and bring unity in this nation, Father. Lord, we pray for our president and our vice president. We pray for every senator and every representative, God, every congressman, Lord. We speak peace among them. We speak unity among them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Every state, we speak unity. We speak peace. We rebuke civil war, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, Lord, let there be peace, Lord, in the hearts of people, God. Lord, turn the hearts of people back to you, Father. Those that have went kind of on one way or the other, Lord, that might not be your way, Lord, bring their hearts, turn their hearts around. Turn every stony heart to flesh. Let them turn and live, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hey, good little boy. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for Hallelujah. You said you would give liberally, Lord. You would give liberally. And I pray it's not. I don't know why I can't say that word today. But anyway, God, you know what I mean. And so, Lord, we thank you. Bless everyone that is in you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you. Jesus, Lord, so we thank God for prayer, for everything today. Thank you, Lord, for really happy working and Claudette Williams. We thank you for watching us. We're going to be in Genesis 12 through, and we're going through 17 next week. We're going through the Bible. That's what we're doing. And so bringing some little fun facts and some things about it, and hopefully some revelation as God gives it. And so we thank God for that. And so I will see you back here next week on the Prosper Souls Podcast. Look for me this week. I'm going to be out there talking about my book this week. We're going to be talking about that and, you know, trying to see what's going on there. So anyway, I'm so thankful that project being done. Like I said, I had to go back but anyway, the Lord bless. Anyway, God bless each and every one of you is my prayer. And so we'll see you back here next week on the Prosper Souls Podcast. God bless you.